Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, March 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. $1 million in retirement savings is the number that people hope to achieve by the time they leave the workforce. Problem is, most people don't come close.
The typical family's 401k and IRA investments accounts come to slightly less than $500,000. So the typical balance is about $413,000 on average.
Retirement reporter Ann Turgeson spoke to several people about what retirement looks like with far less than $1 million in savings. We'll talk to her after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years. A lot has changed, but one thing that remains constant, including the different types of durable income and portfolios, can help investors meet their goals. With expertise across income and alternatives, Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
When people think about retirement, often the first number that comes to mind is $1 million in savings to live on after their working years are done. But most of us won't retire with anything close to that. Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson spoke with people, many of whom have retirement savings well below $1 million, to see how they're making do. Ann, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So Ann, a lot of people dream of building up $1 million in savings for retirement, but in reality, where do people typically come in on the retirement savings scale?
Well, according to some of the sources that I rely on heavily, a typical family's 401k and IRA investments accounts come to slightly less than $500,000 on average in the years leading up to retirement, or for some people in retirement, which is about 55 to 64 years old. So the typical balance is about $413,000 on average.
So how does that change the retirement picture for people?
Yeah, so there's really nothing magical about $1 million. I mean, people have different lifestyles. People spend more, people spend less. You know, $1 million can be insufficient for somebody who spends a lot. It can be more than enough for someone who doesn't spend much. All things considered, the less that you save, the more at risk you're going to be if a situation comes along that is like an unforeseen economic shock or a setback in life. For example, maybe an unforeseen health issue that requires you to spend a lot of money on a home health aid or something. It's going to be a much harder blow to absorb the less money that you have to save. And I think also people who save less are probably a little bit more at risk to worrying about outliving their money.
Yeah, and you know, who wouldn't want to have $1 million when they're set to retire, right? But having less than $1 million, far less than that, is more in line with the rest of us. And you and your reporting team, you spoke with people with savings in that range, less than $1 million. Tell us about how they're getting by.
I felt like they all have really, really interesting stories. They have very interesting lives, very fulfilling lives. And I think that they're all getting by really pretty well. I mean, I need to emphasize that when we focus on less than $1 million in savings, and we include both 401k, IRA, and pension wealth in that savings number, but we don't include Social Security. And all these people have Social Security as well. So that's an additional source of income that people have. You know, in some cases, they have home equity. In some cases, they don't. So, you know, when we look at savings, we're just looking at one slice of what people have, a very important slice. But Social Security is a very important source of income for people. In fact, the Social Security Administration indicates that about 40% of people rely on Social Security for half or more of their retirement income. So that just shows you how important it is. And some of the people also have some money-making opportunities. A lot of retirees work part-time in retirement. And we spoke to one woman who has done a lot of work in the education field in the past, and she is also a writer. So she freelances and has been able to supplement her income that way.
So what's the lesson here? If your savings are not at that magical $1 million number?
Well, one lesson I think is that Social Security is a really important source of retirement income and retirement wealth, really. And so people need to start thinking about it very carefully. There are strategies that you can use to maximize your Social Security, including working longer, delaying claiming. That can actually get you a pretty sizable increase in your monthly benefit. And for people who expect to live well into their 80s, it can be a very good move to try to maximize that income.
And so for people who are still working and who might have anxiety about having enough when they do retire, what steps can they take now to ensure that their retirement savings will be big enough?
Yeah, I think ways that you can do this are think about how much you're saving. And, you know, in some cases, maybe you can afford to cut costs a little bit and save a little bit more. So that's always one strategy. Another strategy that came through from these interviews is to think about your asset allocation pretty carefully. And, you know, we're sort of in a turbulent time now in the markets. So in some ways, it's a good test case. Are your assets allocated to stocks in a way that you're able to sleep at night? You know, for some people, they may discover that they're very anxious and they're nervous. So it's important to have the right allocation of assets between stocks and bonds, because one person we spoke to found that in 2008, he had enough in stocks that it made him so nervous that he sold his stocks right after they went down, and he never really went back in the market. That was sort of a bit of a blow to his finances, because the market obviously did very well starting in 2009 and for several years after that. So you want to make sure that you can still participate in the stock market and get the upside of that, but without having too much exposure, which can cause people to then freak out and sell it all and then sit outside the market when the market's going through like a good period. So you have to be careful about that. Another great lesson I thought from another person was try not to get too preoccupied with the balance of your savings, right? Especially if it's on the lower side, it's probably making you nervous. If you're budgeting and you're being very careful about your spending, you're doing what you can do, right? So don't kind of sit glued to your computer and watch your balance go up and down every day. That's just going to make you very nervous. It's just nerve-wracking. Another lesson that came through was to ask for help when you feel like you need it. One couple relies on their son-in-law. He's a doctor, but he knows a lot about investing, and he's very helpful to them. And I think a trusted source for help is always a good thing to have on hand. And lastly, again, try to maximize your Social Security to the extent that you can.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal retirement reporter Ann Turgeson. Ann, it's been terrific having you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.